Welcome to Small Time Leaders, a 10-minute podcast about how giving credit to others can help you experience more success and meaning in your leadership and life. My name is Michael Allen Tate, but my friends call me Mike. I work with accomplished business people who want to design a personal strategy to make their next big move their best move. In each of my podcasts, you will hear a successful leader talk about a couple of people in their lives who did or said a small thing that was so on point and profound that it still impacts how they live and work today, which I've come to call small-time leader moments. Well, Andy, it's good to have you back. Enjoyed so much your lesson, your story about your teacher, our last conversation. And today you've chosen another person you told me about. Would you give us a little background about this small-time leader in your life?
Sure. You know, that small-town leader does big things in small ways. But the gentleman I'd like to share with your listeners, his name is Roger Goldman. And I'll give you the context, how I met him and what he then was able to do for me. I was a tenured professor of anthropology and American studies. My career seemed to be on track. I was doing all kinds of interesting things in academia. And my husband had joined Citibank. They were hiring people from consumer packaged goods at the time. It was a period of deregulation. And at a cocktail party, I met Roger. And one conversation led to the next. And he said, "Why don't you come help us?" And I said, "Do what?" And he said, "Well, we have all these people who come to work from 9 to 12 and 1 to 3. And if they don't steal, they stay around forever. And we need to turn them into customer service and salespeople. Can you help us change?" So I took a leave for a year and I went over to Citibank as a consultant. And for the next 20 years, I was in business, 14 of them in financial services and then 7 in healthcare. But during the financial service period, Roger was my boss and he was the head of the Bronx Westchester division for Citibank. Interesting. We had all these branches and they really were very good at coming to work from 9 to 12 and 1 to 3. And so he finally said to me, came into my office as we were doing the consulting work together, and he would talk in a very interesting way because he talked about my family and his family and about life and about all kinds of soft stuff. Mm-hmm. We sort of bonded. And then he'd say, "Okay, what's next?" And I remember my first "what's next" wondering, "What does that mean, what's next?" He said, "Well, where are you going?" I said, "Well, I got here. I don't even know how I got here. And I'm not quite sure what is next." So as our conversations over that year developed, he said to me, "Why don't you take a branch and run it? Teach yourself how to be a banker." Because I really knew nothing about banking and a lot about anthropology. And so I said, "Cool." He said, "Take over Rye. It's the most profitable one of our branches." I said, "No, give me a bad branch, one that's not doing well. And let's see what I can do to turn it around. At least give me something that's a challenge, not just a learning experience." So he was pretty happy about that. He gave us a branch that's actually about 10 minutes from my home in Mohegan Lake. And I went in there and I realized that I had to learn a whole lot about banking, but managing people and managing processes and managing check cashing and managing new ATMs. We were launching all kinds of new things. How did you take people who love to stand on line, long lines for the tellers and move them over to the ATM, even though it was faster and easier, it was scary. And this was a time of change. Now, I love change. I study change. I help people change. And now I was in a place where I had to do change. Mm. Oh, my goodness, it was humbling. So Roger was really inspirational, but not necessarily in a way you might have expected, but just by asking me what's next. And I can tell you what came next as well.
Oh, well, what a great story. What a great mentor who has those simple questions that really make us think in different ways and act in different ways. So what happened after that? Did you have any other experiences with Roger?
Well, after finishing my tour of duty at this bank branch, the what next question came. And he was actually moving me through a career shift without my necessarily being fully sensitive or aware to it. I knew what was happening, but I didn't know what was happening. And we were launching at Citibank Direct Access, bank by personal computer, which people do quite comfortably now. But that was the early days of having modems and having online access and the security issues. And so here I am developing Direct Access and helping to launch it. I was part of a team, and that was fun, but I learned a lot about consumers and change. And so without really thinking about it, Roger helped me better understand the very work that I did and how I did it. Because what we had, people would say to me, I'd love to do this. Can you come to my house and install my computer for me? I bought it at the holidays and I don't know what to do with it. Or I have a modem, I have to stick into an electric outlet. How does that work? And so early stages of change require a really important collection of people who can get out there and help people transition to the new stages. And people hate to change. So I went from there and I became senior vice president of Poughkeepsie Savings Bank. I bought their first computer, introduced their first ATM, made their first acquisition, and I had to take people who were in the bank of FDR and begin to change them into people in a bank that wanted to grow through sales and service. So I began to develop my expertise.
Wow.
And then I took over another bank as an executive vice president of that bank, and that bank had blown up its back office by making an acquisition too fast. Mm. So I had to fix the bad stuff. The examiners arrived the day after I did, and I learned a lot about how to help the examiners as we fixed, get thousands of checks in suspense because I had no accounts. It was a mess. So that's how Roger helped me on my career track in a very unexpected way. I enjoyed the journey.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Andy, for sharing about Roger and what he did for you and how he helped you get prepared for what you are doing now. So if people would like to get in touch with you, would you share with us your contact information? And I'll have that on the show notes, of course, but a little plug here.
It'd be my pleasure. You can find out more about me and our business at simonassociates.net and about my book at andysimon.com. And you can always email me at info@simonassociates.net. And our contact information is all on our website. I think that's the easiest and best way to reach us.
Right. And we'll have that there for all our guests to find. Thanks so much for your time again.
Thank you so much. And remember, what's next is next. It's coming soon.
Thank you so much for listening. I'd like to leave you with a thought. I believe that we live in a small world that often feels out of control. But I also believe there is a big God who is in control and who speaks to us in a still, small voice. And if we just listen, we may be granted the occasion to make a positive difference in someone's life. So I challenge you to be a small-time leader today and help someone see themselves in a brand new way. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. For more information about my firm, blog, products, today's special guest, please go to michaelallentate.com or smalltimeleaders.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Small Time Leader podcast so you never miss an episode. And join our Facebook group for more exclusive content. I'll see you on the next episode of Small Time Leaders.